On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, men's and women's basketball head down the home stretch of the regular season, and baseball opening weekend is finally here. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 132 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And what a week, Gamecock Nation. What a week, y'all. It was a jam-packed weekend. I mean, first off, you're coming off of the Super Bowl, which kind of touched on that already. But then you go right into Valentine's Day, if that's your thing. And it's just all out of sorts. I don't know what is what. You got games being played left and right. You got baseball to get ready for. It's just so much action in Gamecock Nation. My head is literally spinning, but gonna break it all down for y'all in this episode here. And yeah, everything is building up really towards this weekend where it is Gamecock baseball, excuse me, is back. Now, if you have not already, hit pause, go listen to my baseball season preview episode along with Evan from Tito's and Chicken. Hit pause right now. I won't blame you. It's okay. You're not cheating on me. You're listening to my show. So go listen to that preview episode if you want a good spark notes, easy to digest season preview. But without further ado, let's jump into a week in review from around USC Athletics. Starting with Tuesday, you had the men's golf team in action. They finished sixth in the Puerto Rico Classic. Rafe Reynolds finished second individually. Congrats, Rafe. But, I mean, to say I'm jealous is the huge understatement. The men's golf team gets to go to Puerto Rico to play golf? And, like, they're on scholarship to do this? That is the life. I should have been a golfer in college. Jeez. Instead, I was pinching pennies, trying to get enough to go to Bojangles, get a Chicken Supreme combo. And then Wednesday, you had the women's softball in action. They went ahead and played the College of Charleston, where they ended up being the victors, which was very nice. Little in-state rival there. Always nice to come out on top there. The softball team is off to a nice little start this season. They beat College of Charleston 8-0. So way to go, girls. And then some of the other sports are back in action this weekend. So there will be a lot to report next episode. Which brings me to men's basketball. Now, they got in action on Tuesday night, which, I mean, I don't know if there's anything more romantic than sitting down with your significant other and watching some Carolina basketball. I don't know. I don't know if it gets more romantic than that, honestly. I mean, trip to Paris, cooking classes, watching a 9-win Gamecock basketball team. I mean, that's it, right? That's a couple goals right there. And the men, fortunately, did disappoint, and they lost to Vanderbilt 75-64. This was in front of the home crowd. And, you know, it's just as quickly as some of those good vibes came with that win the other day, those good vibes left. You know, this was a case where, once again, you know, I thought we were past this, guys. You know, the team started slow. They were down huge at the half, 20 points at the half. It's like 38-18 or something like that. And it was just by the time the team was able to get some things going and corrected in the second half, it was just simply too late. I mean, the Gamecocks had a pretty good, strong second half, even outscoring Vandy. But again, when you're down by 20 points at the half, it's going to take a Herculean effort. There you go. A Herculean effort to overcome that. And that just was not in the cards. But for me, you know, it was just the first 5 minutes, you could tell this team just did not have the juice to start against a team in Vanderbilt that is very hot. You know, they're on a 3 or 4 game winning streak and had beaten some good teams in the SEC. So that's just not going to get it done. But aside from this team slipping into some old bad habits, the story that's really come out of this game is about G.G. Jackson, and not the kind of story you want if you're him. Once again, he was coming off the bench, but even with that, he only recorded 2 points in 16 minutes, was just really off shooting the entire time. And then there were some reports from beat writers and observers who were at the game just saying that he had some real bad body language on the sideline, I guess. They said he was leaving huddles early, and it just seems like he's in a funk right now. You know, he's been having a hard time shooting the basketball. He's coming off of the bench now. This is, I mean, probably for the first time ever he's come off the bench in his life. And, I mean, let's be honest. This has been a very hard year for this basketball team. So I think G.G. is just going through a maturing process, right? He's growing up right now. He's learning how to handle adversity and handle losses. He's learning how to handle tougher competition, learning how to deal with pressure, right? It's not all fun and games. And, I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to be fine, right? Like, this is definitely something to watch as we round out this season, but I have all the confidence in the world in G.G. to do some great things in his playing career for however long that is, right? Assuming he's out of Columbia after this year, he'll probably go on to do some very fine things at the next level. If by, for whatever miracle, he stays for another year and we get year two of G.G., I would imagine a lot of these issues are going to seem like a funny dream, you know, by the end of it. But some player highlights from the game. You have Michi Johnson scoring 19 points, Chico Carter Jr. getting 15, and then Hayden Brown rounding things out with 11 points as well. Next game for the men is Saturday, 1 p.m. at LSU. So LSU is 12-14 right now, okay? They're 12-14 after starting 12-1. They have lost 13 games in a row. 13 games in a row. People were saying, like at the beginning of the year, that LSU made this fantastic hire in this new guy and that they're playing so hard and they're going to be a dark horse for the SEC. 13 losses later, who's saying that? 13 losses in a row. I had to read it like 3 times. They started 12-1. If you start 12-1, you think you're going to go to the Sweet 16. This is a team that has clearly lost their way. I don't know if they've had an injury or whatnot, but something has gone very, very sideways in Baton Rouge. So this game, it's a game of an immovable object versus an immovable object, right? Both teams in this game are just not very good. Both teams are trying to find wins at the end of the year, and both of these coaches need wins badly. So I know this game is away, but that's actually been better for Carolina this year for whatever reason. I don't know who is who or what is what with LSU, but I see 13 consecutive losses in a row, and you don't have to be a basketball genius to know that that's bad. That's a bad team. So I'm going to give Carolina as good a chance as any in this game. Again, it's really just literally going to come down to who wants it more. Which struggling team is going to fight for it more? My crow to the game is get Gigi going, right? If he is his normal self, Carolina might stand a chance, right? I mean, shoot, if he's his normal self against Vanderbilt last game, that might not be a double-digit loss. That we might be close in that game. So have him going, bring a solid game. Hopefully that will energize the rest of the guys, and this team can rally against an LSU team that's sucking right now, frankly. But moving on to women's basketball here. Now, as I am recording, they are playing Florida. I feel bad. You know, it's just they play on Thursday nights. I tend to record on Thursday nights. So I'm sending good vibes to them. The next game, however, they play is Sunday, 4 p.m. at Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss is not half bad in their own right. They are 20-5 overall, 9-3 in conference, and are currently fourth in the SEC. So really not that bad at all. So this should be a good game, right? We're in the home stretch of the regular season for the ladies. I think there's only three or four games left, including the Ole Miss game. And it really feels like the Gamecocks have gotten stronger as the year has gone on. And this will be another good test for the team to flex their muscles against some solid competition. But it really does feel like that way, right? I mean, there were a couple close games middle of the year, a couple of ones they had to squeak out, right? UCLA, wasn't that a close one? Stanford, that was a close one. But once SEC play got cooking and you got a couple of games into that, it felt like this team really settled down. And Dawn figured out the rotations nicely. Feels like a lot of the girls realized their role and everything settled out nicely. And that was evident against LSU. And so right now, my crow to the game for this is just do exactly that, right? Just flex on them. Flex your defensive muscles. We've seen South Carolina just go absolute lockdown for a quarter or two in a game and allowing single-digit points. And that's what I want to see here. If the ladies can do that for a quarter in this game, I don't think Ole Miss will be able to keep up. They don't score as much as Carolina. I think they score like 10 points on average less than us. They tend to turn the ball over more than we do. So if you flex your defensive muscles, this should be a game you can handle with ease. Look for Raven Jackson to have a steal or two. Look for Letitia Amy here to have a steal or two. And then look for Camilla Cardoza and Aaliyah Boston to really step up to the plate and have another nice game. So going to be an exciting one and really starting to gear up for the SEC and NCAA tournament. I'm really excited for the ladies. Which brings me to, last but not least, some of the most exciting news. And that's, it's baseball season, y'all. It is opening weekend. Crazy to say. Really snuck up on me. I don't know about y'all, but it just all of a sudden was like, holy crap, baseball's next week. Got to get a season preview out there. Very exciting time. You know, us South Carolina fans, we take a lot of pride in our baseball team. And I think we all look forward to baseball season. You know, we have great history. We have great resources, great fan support for this program, and we all look forward to opening weekend especially. There's just something as American as apple pie, as opening weekend and baseball, and this is a team that is looking to bounce back from last year. I dove a lot into that in my season preview, but there's just nothing better than seeing what the guys look like on opening weekend and hopefully starting the season on the right note here. And, you know, quite frankly, it's just been a long winter with men's basketball. It's just been a tough, long fandom of that team. And so it will be exciting to watch something else while Dawn Staley and the ladies gear up for the NCAA tournament. So hopefully we can have two winners going at the same time. The Gamecocks kick the season off here against UMass Lowell. For those of you who don't know Lowell, Massachusetts, you're not missing a whole lot. I have driven through there once or twice. You're really not missing a whole lot. If you've ever seen the movie Jumanji, when, you know, they kind of flash forward to the future and the factory shut down and there's broken windows and it's like, wow, this is a town that's kind of past its prime. That's Lowell, Massachusetts for you. Last year, UMass Lowell went 28-30 overall. They went 15-15 in the America East Conference. But the theme that I noticed when looking at their schedule was the handful of times they played Power 5 teams, they lost. But I'm not really concerning myself too much with the opponent this weekend, really. Our team needs to look inward this weekend, right? It's imperative to start on the right foot this weekend. You know, there's probably going to be some shifting in the lineup, guys in different spots here and there. There's probably going to be some shifting with guys playing in different positions, right? You very well might have two or three different third basemen this weekend, right? You might see some different guys in left field. You might see two different catchers, and that's okay, right? There is some depth here. You have some guys who are fighting for positions, and early in the season, it's okay to work some of that out. Baseball is a sport where you can have two guys who are capable platooning a position, but you want to have it settled out for the most part, you know, a couple of series in. But regardless, this team needs to start out hot, right? This team is looking to redeem themselves from last year, and a weird theme from last year was that the Gamecocks had frequent struggles against lesser competition and teams like this from lesser conferences. You know, I spoke about it in my season preview, but I think last year, because of injuries and things like that, there were a few guys who were forced into more playing time than maybe what they bargained for or what they thought was going to happen last year, some young guys especially. And while that was a tough pill to swallow at the time, I think that it can pay dividends this year, and I think we will see that pay dividends this year. Also, this pitching staff is just much deeper than it was last year, and the emergence of Noah Hall really just rounds out this staff so nicely. I mean, last year, the way he ended the season just was phenomenal, and I expect even bigger things from him this year. Now, if there is a question mark, it's who's going to bring the pop on the offense. I think we're going to see a lot of small ball this year, moving runners over, things like that. But even with that, you need a guy or two in your lineup who can get the big knock when you need one. So who is that going to be, and will they show up in this series? Carson Hornung and Gavin Cassis are two guys that I personally have my eye on who can fill that role this year, and I'd like to see one of those guys have a couple of big hits in this series. Now, your starting rotation for the Gamecocks: Friday, you have Will Sanders. Saturday, Noah Hall. And Sunday, Jack Mahoney. If all things go according to plan this year, that should be the three guys in the weekend rotation that you see. Sunday, maybe you see a little bit of movement here and there, but hopefully Kingston goes away from those weird galaxy brain moves and has Will and Noah going Friday and Saturday, respectively. My crow to the series is it's on those two guys. Will Sanders and Noah Hall, they need to hit the ground running. Both of these guys are ace-caliber pitchers, and they need to deliver quality starts to open this series and hopefully secure a quick series win for the Gamecocks. You know, both guys, I really would love to see them go, you know, let's call it 6 1/3 with two or fewer earned runs, right? That would be phenomenal. Pitching tends to beat hitting early in the year, so I expect these guys to do that, especially against UMass Lowell. And, you know, while there are some questions in the Gamecocks lineup, it's super important for these guys to keep UMass off the scoreboard and not put any added pressure on the Gamecocks offense. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. getting rid of the three-point play. Now that baseball's here, three-point play is what it is. Maybe we'll do it next year. Maybe we won't. But please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.